You know, out on the road when I'm introducing all the team, I always do that the first night at our LFC, our Living Faith Crusades. And I get to me and I say, my name is Kenneth Hagin, and what you see is what you get. Well, you know, that's true in a lot of areas. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. What you see is what you'll get. You know, our state and other states and is in various stages of reopening from this pandemic that we have been in. We're thankful that we're reopening where we can at least have distant services anyway. We don't have to, you don't have to watch it on the, but thank all of you that are watching. I really appreciate it. I noticed there on Facebook that they got it up and got it going, and the people are putting little comments and things, and that's great too. But you know what? We still have a lot of people that are fearful, worried about catching this virus. And some people are concerned that we're going to have another wave of it. And, you know, and all of these things are possible, but I don't believe it. Why do I not believe it? Because I believe what the Word of God says concerning myself. You need to believe what the Word of God says concerning you. Amen. And I believe it's important that we keep a positive outlook on life, spiritually and naturally. You know, a negative outlook never helped anybody. In fact, if you're a real negative person, you'll find out that a lot of people will just try to stay away from you. Come on now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's in. Yeah, I got some hands out there. I bet I got some out there too. Raise your hand. All right, good. I see you. And a fearful viewpoint, being fearful about things, that will cause you problems, and it causes people problems around you because people don't want to be around somebody that's always, oh, you don't ever know. Oh, what's happening? What's going on? Oh, that's not me. You know, what you see is what you get in the natural and the spiritual. You know, there's an individual by the name of William Carey. He went to India as a missionary in 1793 and became known as the father of modern missions. His story is very interesting if you want to look it up on the internet and read about it. It's very interesting. Man, he persevered through all kinds of hardships and difficulties. Well, you can imagine what it would be like. I mean, he's all the way. There's no way of getting back home fast. In fact, his wife died while he was over there because they couldn't, you know, his sailing ships, and they couldn't get back. And man, he accomplished a lot for the kingdom of God. In fact, he died in India in 1834. And enduring all of that and all of those difficulties, he wrote, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." How could he say that when he was in the middle of all of these difficulties and situations? He could say that because he was not looking at his circumstances. Excuse me. He was looking at the promises of God. He made that statement based upon the promises of God. The future is as bright as the promises of God. See, I'm not saying that we have to deny the problems and the difficulties. They're real. What I am saying is that as we face our problems and our difficulties, we must face them and look at them in light of the promises of the Word of God. Not what we see in the natural. You know, if you're going to overcome, you're going to have to choose to look at life according to what the promises of God say. Your outlook on life will determine what you get out of life. It also will determine eventually what you're able to accomplish. You know, people say it all the time. I've heard it. You know, if you believe you can, then you can. If you believe you can't, you won't. Anybody ever heard that beside me? My dad used to say to me, he said, son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't do it at all. That's what I grew up on. My outlook on life was, hey, if it's worth doing, hey, we give it everything we got. All right, let's don't do it at all. Let's don't even get involved with it. You know, as you look at the problems around you, and, you know, if you just keep your focus on the problems, on the circumstances, on the situations, it will limit what you will be able to come through victoriously. You know, some people are always, like I said, negative, and they see the problem instead of a possibility. We've got to learn to look at the promises of God, no matter what the circumstances. No matter what it is, we've got to learn to look at it in line with the promises of God, not in line with what it really is. It's there. We recognize it exists, but we're not looking at it as it exists. We're looking at it as it exists under the promises of God. And under the promises of God, it has to go. You know, this is true in life, in anything. In sports, you have to look at it. You know, you can't just look at the opposing players and say, oh, I'm bigger, I'm stronger than they are, and expect to get through their defense. You've got to find the holes in their defense. You got to look at it in a different perspective. And that's what people need to learn to do. They got to look at it differently. You know, in the business world, you have to see the opportunities and the possibilities before you ever turn a profit. You know, history shows us this in companies, and I'm going to, the Kodak company, some of you remember when Kodak, that was the only camera you could buy. You couldn't buy anything but a Kodak. Anybody remember that? But you know what? They didn't see the profitability in changing to digital, and so they went by the wayside. You know, Decca Records back in the 60s, they were one of the biggest record companies around, and they refused to sign the Beatles. Didn't think they'd make any money. Somebody messed up, didn't they? Let me tell you another one that you're going to look at. Western Union was the telegram company. And many of you remember when Western Union was it. That was it, you know, even when I was a kid, Western Union. But did you know Alexander Graham Bell offered to sell Western Union the patents for his telephone for $100,000? And they couldn't see it. Man. You know, companies that are run by people with a vision problem... end up on the short end of the stick, as we would say. They can't see the possibilities within the opportunities presented them. You know, we could spend the rest of the session talking about this. But I want you to realize that opportunities are everywhere, but the key is to develop the vision to see us. And that's why that's an anonymous saying. I don't know who said it. It's been said many times. I won't say it again. Opportunities are everywhere. The key is to develop the vision to see it. Now, you know, on Wednesday night, I like to talk to you from the natural standpoint and from the spiritual standpoint. And we need to realize that there are opportunities for us to make it in the natural. But we've got to develop a vision to see it. You got to see it before it ever takes place. In our Christian life, we have to do the same thing. This building was here, but I saw it in my mind's eye, in my vision, before there was ever any piece, ever turned a piece of dirt. You see,
You've got to be able to see the opportunities in something that is presented to you in the natural before it can ever do you any good. Hello. You know, I see Mr. Danny Burton sitting there. He's one of our Rhema grads and a minister. But he also started Bethel Body Shop. It's right over here. In fact, Rhema has had a lot of our vehicles fixed there. You know, but before he opened a little shop right over here, just across the street from where our softball field's there, he had to see it as a profitable thing to do before he ever opened that shop. You don't open it and say, well, I'm going to hope it goes. No, it ain't going to go. That's like going up there and getting in the stance and getting back. Well, I hope I can do this. I just really hope I can do this. You got to come up there with confidence and go, hey, I'm going to knock it out of the park. Hello, you got to see something before it can happen in the natural. You have to do the same thing in the Christian world. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Anybody getting anything out of this? I'm going to read this in the NLT and also in the NIV. So we don't look at the troubles we can see. Rather fix we our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things which we see now will be gone, but the things which we cannot see will last forever. NIV says it like this: so fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now there's a translation in the Good News translation says, fix our attention on things that are seen. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. Now, as Paul is speaking here, he's looking at the possibilities in the spiritual realm, not just what exists in the natural. Because what exists in the natural would change. But the Word of God never changes. See, we've got to look at the unchanging Word of God and not at our changing life. It's going to change. We are constantly going to experience change in our life as we're living our natural life. And we are going to experience change in our spiritual life. Because if you don't, you're not going to grow. If you don't experience change in the natural body, you don't grow. Things change, but the Word of God doesn't change. So we look at things in line with the Word of God, what the Word says. You see, if we begin to realize what the Word says, then it will influence what we become and it will influence what we do. Moses learned to look at the invisible God, or he would have never delivered the children of Israel. Hebrews 11:27 NLT says, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going. He kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. He led them out of Egypt because he was looking at what couldn't be seen. God himself, Jehovah, I am. He said, when Moses said, hey, who do I tell him sent me? He said, tell him I am sent you. He was looking to I am. He looked at God instead of Pharaoh and all of his threats. He realized and he looked to a God that had power greater than Pharaoh, or we would say greater than our circumstances, than our situation. I'm looking to God who has greater power than coronavirus. Hello. He saw God's promises more powerful than what Pharaoh was saying. He saw the power of God was greater than any army Pharaoh could put together. See, he learned to look at the situation according to God and not according to what the circumstances were or what the natural was saying. At the Red Sea, he looked to God and God told him what to do. See, where we look will often determine whether we have victory or defeat. Don't look to listen to what some man says. I mean, I can preach and it can be in line with the Word of God, but you don't need to go out saying, well, pastor said. No, you need to say what the Bible said. I'm telling you what the Bible says, so don't leave me out of it. Just say what the Bible says. I hear people preaching all the time on the radio. You know, you'll hear them say, Kenneth Hagin said. Well, if you go listen to what Dad was saying, you'll find out all he was saying is what the Bible says. And he used to say it all the time. I mean, families here, they'll tell you. He'd say, don't say what I say. Say what the Bible says. I'm just saying what God said. See, we need to begin to realize, you know, John 4:4, we all know it. You're of God, little children, who have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. NLT says it. I like this. The spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Now you either believe that or you don't believe it. We face the world every day. You get up, you go out of your house, you go wherever you go. We're facing the world out there. And the devil is out there in the world to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's going to destroy you if he can't. But you've got to realize and look to the Word of God and realize that you have a greater power on the inside of you than any power that there is. You know, we have to look to God to overcome our problems, our difficulties, our situations. We have to look to God because he can help us when nobody else can. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. I see some people raising two hands. To me, I'd raise my both hands and both feet because I've been in some situation. But I want to tell you what, he can make a way where there looks like there is no way. See, you can't look at the circumstance. There's no way, no way, no way, no way. It's just screaming at you. It's yelling at you. No way. But I got to turn around and yell back. Yes, there is. There's God's way. Yes. Come on now. Any of you ever been in the Army of the United States of America? Okay, I got a couple of hands here. I don't know about you, but the first thing they said to us, we got in Fort Leonard, Missouri about 2:00 in the morning, and they give us some blankets and some stuff and told us to go to sleep. And 30 minutes later, they woke us up and had us out there. And that old sergeant, he said, let me tell you something, boys, right now. There's the right way, the wrong way, and the Army way. And as long as you're in this Army, you'll do it the Army way. I want to tell you what, there's the right way and the wrong way, and there's God's way, and that's the only way. Hello? He can open doors that nobody else can open, and he can open a door that nobody can shut. See, we got to train ourselves to look at God and not at the situation. Look at the Word of God, what God's Word says. You know, Abraham didn't get where he got because he looked at the circumstances. He looked at what God told him. And it says the blessing of Abraham, Galatians 3, third chapter of Galatians, you need to read it. You need to read it at least every other month. You need to read that third chapter of Galatians. Hey, it said the blessing of Abraham might come on us. Well, how did he get it? It says here, and Abraham's faith did not weaken even though he's 100 years old. He figured his body was as good as dead, so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew strong in that he brought glory to God, and he was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promised. Here, Abraham didn't consider the limitations of the natural. He didn't look at what it looked like. He looked at what the Bible said, what God said. God had told him. He believed God. And he received. He fixed his attentions on the promises of God. We got to fix our attention on the promises of God, not on what it looks like, what somebody's telling you, what somebody else thinks. You know, they don't do it too often anymore, but when I was growing up, people used to get up and preach, and some of you may be in some of these churches, and they say, well, now this is what, they'd read a scripture and say, now this is what I think God is telling us. And they'd go off on some rigmarole. You know, God said what he meant what he said. He doesn't have to have somebody to, well, this is what I think he was saying. That's the problem, you thought. My dad used to tell me that. I said, well, I thought. And he said, that was your problem, son. You thought. I wonder if God doesn't do that to some of us. I'm saying, hey, child, that's your problem. You're thinking because you're thinking in the natural instead of thinking in the Word. How many of you got your Bible or your device that's got your Bible? Hold it up. Say that this is the Word of God. This is what I need to look at. I realize I have problems. I realize there are circumstances coming against me. But the Word says, I overcome them all. I believe the Bible. Hallelujah. That ought to have got somebody excited. We need to continue to revisit the Word. Revisit the promises. Remind ourselves of the promises. Come on. You know, what you continually look at is what you will pursue and eventually get. Now, I don't know about the ladies, but every one of us guys, we have been driving down a street. And oh, man, look at that. Wow. Look at that. I love that color of that car. And then you go by that car lot a couple of days on the way home. About the third day, you pull in there, you go over and you begin to look at it. You know, you open the door, look at it. Oh, man, this is but then salesman come out there and, I can't afford this. But you drive by there every day, you keep looking at that, and the more you look at it, it's not long before you figure out some way to get it. How many guys have ever done that? How many of you guys out there? I know all of us guys have done it. Man, I know. I had that 54 Oldsmobile, and then I wanted to, there was just this really neat little white Pontiac, 62 Pontiac Tempest. And I just had to have that thing. I finally figured out how to get it. You know why? Because I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at it. Come on now. The more you keep looking at the Word, the more you look at the Word, the more you look at the Word, the more it gets inside of you, and the more you will quit looking at your circumstance and at your problem and start realizing that God's already taken care of it. See, if you want to be victorious, you got to keep looking at the promises of God on victory. If you want healing, you look at the promises of God on healing. If you want to be prosperous, you look at the promises of God on provision. You know, it's strange to me. People, they come up to me and they tell me, "Well, you pray for me for this or that." And I say, "Yep." I said, "Well, what are you reading in the Word?" "Well, I've been reading this or I've been." I said, "That's not what you need to do. Go find scriptures and read them over and over again about your situation." You know, one guy told me one time, "Well, I've been reading the scriptures on heaven, how nice heaven's going to be." I said, "Yeah, it is. It's going to be nice." But I said, "You're down here and you sick. Go read scriptures on healing." That's what you see. What you look at is what you get. Come on now. When you begin to look at the Word of God, you begin to see things before they actually are. You begin to see what you can be because of what the Word says. You begin to see that you don't have to operate in fear anymore. See, looking to the Word causes faith to rise. And when faith rises, the natural goes out the window. Because you are walking on this plane and not on this plane. That's why people always say, "Come on up. Go higher with God." Why do we need to go higher with God? We need to go higher with God through looking at the Word, because the more we get into Him, the less the world has effect on us. The less we allow circumstances to get a hold of us. See, because of the Word and what the Word says, I get up every day and say, every time I pray for food, I say, I'm protected. I'm protected from this virus. The 91st Psalm said, "No plague will come nigh me." See, that's what you got to see in the Word. You got to see in the Word. No fear. See, faith enables us to see the reality before it ever is. Of course, you know what Hebrews 11:1 says, but I'll read it anyway. I'm going to read the NLT of it. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's an evidence of things we can't see. Through faith, their faith, the people of the old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command. That's what we see. Did not come from anything that we can see. I want you to notice it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. How do you activate your faith? You activate your faith by keeping your eyes on the Word of God. Your attention fixed on the promises of God. Man, if you have to, write it down on a card and carry it in your pocket. Put it out and read them every so often. If you have to, put it up somewhere where you're going to see it all the time. You know, used to, they put, you know, you put little messages on the refrigerator because you knew that's where the kids, as soon as they come home from school, that's where they're going. Hello. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, when fear tries to arise, fix your eyes on the promises of God. Continually believe the promises of God are coming to pass in your life. Say it. The promises of God are coming to pass in my life. You know, I've heard it said many times. I heard my dad say it. I don't even know where the statement come from. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. Most people choose to believe the circumstances rather than the Word. And if you talk to them, they say, "Well, you don't understand." Well, I don't understand. I don't have to. I know what the Bible says. Then keep your faith active by speaking. speaking the promises of God. We all know that, Mark 11:23. Every one of us know that, and you can go quiet it by heart. And almost, you know, if you say to the mountain, be removed, be cast to the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but you believe those things which he says, he shall have whatever he says, right? So, say it with me. The future is as bright as the promises of God. So keep looking at what the promises in the Word say. Keep believing what the power of God will do for you. Keep speaking the words that activate the promises of God in your life. Hallelujah. What you see is what you're going to get. Anybody get anything tonight? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word. I thank you that tonight the Word has been spoken. I thank you that as everyone takes a hold of what is said, takes the portion that they needed, and begins to activate it in their life, that change will come, and their life will be different. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. I realize we can't give the normal kind of altar call I would, but everybody stand, please. If you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know him before you leave. Or if you need to rededicate your life, or if the same with you that are watching, if you need to rededicate your life or you need to accept Christ for the first time, I want you to repeat after me this prayer right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word. The Word of God says that if I would believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin and was raised from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father, I will be saved. I thank you, Lord, that that's happening in my life now, because I believe in my heart, I have spoken with my mouth, and I thank you now that I'm that new person in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. If you're watching and you prayed that prayer of rededication or for the first time, just go right there. It's on your screen. Go there to partnerservice@rhema.org and let us know about it. If you happen to pray that prayer here with us in this auditorium, as you're dismissed and go out, tell one of the ushers about it as you go out, okay? Okay.